CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Brazil, the second most populous state in the New World. A critical state for South America, for Latin America to be successful. A new president who is an old president, Lula da Silva, heading to Washington to sit with the president of the United States and meet with important members of Congress. Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, is here. First to introduce Lula da Silva for the third time elected president. And the major concern now is, what does Lula da Silva say to the president and what does the president say to Lula da Silva about the immediate future of these two countries? Mary, a very good evening to you. January 6, 2021, January 8, 2023. Events from far away in time and space, one in Washington, the other in Brasilia. But in your column, you very carefully introduce us to how you believe that will come up in this conversation. Good evening to you, Mary.
Well, good evening, John. I think one important thing to note is that President Biden made the invitation to President Lula da Silva on the day after violent protests stormed the Capitol in Brasilia, the Congress, the Supreme Court, and even went after the presidential palace. In a very superficial way, you might look at that and see parallels. And I think that Biden is interested in bringing Lula da Silva here so he can recreate what happened 2 years ago, just in case anybody's forgetting. There are very big differences between the two, starting with the fact that in Washington, the protesters tried to stop the transition of power. In Brasilia, the transition of power had already occurred, so it was never clear exactly what these guys wanted. One theory is that they wanted to create some violence with the police, forcing the military to step in, and then forcing the military to tell Lula that they wouldn't fire on the crowd. In other words, they wanted a coup. And of course, Brazil's institutions held up. The police did not get suckered into violence against these people. And, there has been no transition of power. But I do think that Joe Biden very much has that on his mind because he wants to be able to pound his chest and talk about how he's a great advocate of small d democracy.
Mary, the State Department all the time mentions corruption throughout Central and South America. But you observe, wryly, ironically, you doubt whether the president will bring it up to Lula da Silva. Why?
Yeah, that's kind of a funny thing because the State Department and the administration love to talk about how they are so dedicated to fighting corruption. But Lula da Silva was actually convicted of bribery and money laundering in Brazil in 2017. And the Supreme Court, in a very tendentious decision, decided that ruling had to be vacated. Now, that didn't mean that he was exonerated. They just said on a technicality, because the jurisdiction was wrong, he needed to be tried again. And of course, because the statute of limitations for a person the age of Lula had run out, it was not possible to try him again. And that's how he was released and able to run for office. But nobody in Brazil believes that there wasn't a huge amount of corruption going on, not just with Lula himself, but a very corrupt scheme costing the country billions of dollars during the time that the Workers' Party, both Lula and his successor Dilma Rousseff, were in charge. And the Workers' Party was very much at the center of that. And it was a really huge embarrassment for Brazil because of the order of magnitude of this. I mean, there were companies that had bribery departments because it was such an extensive scheme to launder money for the Workers' Party.
Summer of 1990, the Sao Paulo Forum. Lula da Silva was a younger man. What is the Sao Paulo Forum today? And I doubt whether it'll come up in conversation with the president.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the year 1990, and your listeners will remember that that's around the time that the Berlin Wall fell and the Soviet Union was falling apart. And Cuba was losing its big sugar daddy, which was the Soviet Union. And in general, there was a sense that socialism and communism had failed and that the world was moving to a much more free economic model. And so Castro was freaked out about this, and so was Lula da Silva, a longtime friend of Fidel Castro. And they hosted a forum in Sao Paulo that has come to be known as the Forum de Sao Paulo. It meets every year, and it's a group of hardcore leftists from around the region who bemoan the fall of the Soviet Union. They want to try to get back there to those heady days of communism. And so they meet with all the lefty leaders from around the region every year to exchange ideas and try to, you know, reinvigorate the communist revolutionary model.
This is not sentimental anymore, Mary. The elections over this last year or two, very much in keeping with the Sao Paulo form, including Lula da Silva's re-election, correct?
Yes, and it's also an ideological battle as well. So what they do at these forums is that they promote these ideas of, you know, revolution from the by the proletariat and of course domination of the proletariat. But you know, it's keeping alive not just the you know, the military idea that eventually you have to dominate the subjects of the country, but also the ideological utopian ideal that once you have socialism, you have a sort of a utopia, basically, where everyone will be better off. And those are the ideas that are very much promoted at the forum.
Lula da Silva is speaking of the Amazon. He's speaking of the poor. What is his ambition in this new term for him?
Well, it's not entirely clear. I mean, I think in part he wants revenge for having been in jail, but he also wants to, you know, get power back in the hands of the Workers' Party and make sure that it's never lost again. So I think a lot of times we think of a leader like Lula or Castro coming to power and never leaving. But I think the more modern model is that the party gets in power and doesn't leave. And in order to do that, they have to accumulate money, which was sort of the idea behind the bribery schemes the last time the Workers' Party were in power. So I think he wants very much that. He says he wants to save the Amazon, but there's a problem in the Amazon because there's 25 million people who live there. And, you know, when people don't have opportunity, they go to the Amazon because there you can carve out a little piece of land and you can grow some fruits and vegetables and so forth. And that's why you've had this big migration to the Amazon, because the Brazilian economy hasn't created jobs and opportunity more broadly. And I that's what I worry about with Brazil, because as he runs up reckless spending and, you know, increases the regulatory burden in Brazil, it's not going to be good for wealth creation or job creation.
Lula da Silva, the new version, is it different than the old version, Mary? He wrote a wave of natural resource, a bounty in the early part of this century. That's no longer the case. Is this a new man? We have 30 seconds.
No, I think it's the same old man. I think the environment is different, and he's going to find it more difficult to do what he wants to do because, you know, Brazil, despite the fact that it's got a large internal market and has a lot of protectionism, it's going to be exposed to bad decisions that damage the investment profile of the country.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor for the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, Lula da Silva in the White House. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you need